Blog Talk Radio.
I've been quiet for way too long. I can't fight it no, no more. Got a story, and it's time to tell. 'Cause I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody give me your microphone.
Welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in, and now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah. It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, resting on you. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
Good evening, and praise God, and welcome to the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast. We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst, and we give God the praise for his presence and also for your presence of being here and joining us. God has anointed us to go forth to be able to share his word, and we do so with a sense of excitement, but also a sense of humbleness and gratitude to be able to be in the service of the Lord. Well, tonight we have a word in the house, but before we continue, we are going to go ahead and ask Pastor Jasper to lead us in prayer. We would like to also recognize our sponsors, which are Stephen and Ann Butterfield of Butterfield Ministries, as well as our Covenant Fellowship Church, which is Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, located in Stockbridge, Georgia, under the leadership of Archbishop Ruth Smith. So we just give God praise for all of our leadership. We thank God for all that he is doing in the body of Christ. Pastor Jay, would you go ahead and lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, Father. This blessed day you have given to us, Lord, your new mercy, your new grace, and your new compassion, Father, Lord. We pray for your will to be done, Father, this day, Lord. We ask for your help, your guide, your direction, and all that we do, that we shall glorify your name and glorify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. We pray for the manifestation of your mercy, manifestation of your joy, manifestation of your word, Lord. We pray for manifestation of your praise and worship to the glory of Almighty God. And we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, and pray for your servant, Lord, give us the word to speak, to give utterance unto your name, Father Lord, and pray that it be blessed to the hearer, Father, this day, Lord, and pray that you heal hearts, mind, and spirit to the glory of God. Let your will be done this day, every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we thank God, and we have a word in the house tonight, and I thank God for his guidance by the Holy Spirit. Tonight, the title of the message is A Call to Serve. A Call to Serve. Well, today, this nation stopped to celebrate the life, the legacy, and what would have been the 91st birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King's life exemplified a life of service. So tonight, the Lord just laid on my heart to speak with you from, again, the topic of A Call to Service. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. Matthew 23, verse 11. And it reads, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." I'm going to read that again. "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." On February 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his last sermon at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And the title of that sermon was The Drum Major Instinct. The Drum Major Instinct. Many of you may recall that Martin Luther King, one of his pseudo titles, was a drum major for justice. Well, he delivered this message, The Drum Major Instinct, and the sermon was actually inspired by Mark chapter 10, verse 43, which is the same verse as we just read in Matthew 23, 11. And it says in the version in the book of Mark that whosoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Dr. King inspired this passage. This passage was inspired by Dr. King from this verse, and I want to read just a brief synopsis of this passage where he talks about the greatest amongst you will be the servant. It says, "If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, remember this is Dr. King speaking, it means that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant. The words of Dr. Martin Luther King. Wow. Again, all you need to serve is a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Well, we can reflect back on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. also used the model of Jesus Christ as his example of servitude. Jesus Christ was the greatest example of a servant. As God expects us to also follow the example of Christ. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 tells us, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Service, a call to service. I have a question for you tonight. How do you respond when you hear the sound of your phone ringing? If you hear that ring, ring, how do you respond? In this technological age, we now have the ability that when the phone rings, we can actually see the origin of the call. It is either identified by the number, or if you happen to have that person's name associated with the number in your contacts, you can actually see the name of the person that's calling. Well, that poses advantages and even sometimes disadvantages to the caller, because the recipient can make a decision as to whether to answer the call or whether not to answer the call. And so I'm asking the question tonight. We're talking about a call to service. So if you hear that sound, ring, 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 and it's God calling, huh? Have you answered his call, or do you let it roll over and ignore it? Does it roll over to voicemail? Have you actually answered the call of God on your life? Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to serve? Well, there are four principles that I would like to share with you tonight to allow you to answer that question. Are you ready to serve? You are ready to serve when, one, God confronts you. You are ready to serve when God convicts you. You are ready to serve when God converts you, and you are ready to serve when God commissions you. I'm going to give you those four again in case you're trying to jot this down. You're ready to serve when God confronts you, he convicts you, he converts you, and he commissions you. Praise God. Let's talk about the first one. You are ready to serve when God confronts you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 gives us a clarion call. It says, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We're talking about the voice of God. If God calls you, if you hear his voice, Hebrews 3 and 15 tells you, harden not your heart. God calls those whom he has chosen. 1 Peter 2 and 9 tells us, but ye are a chosen generation. Chosen by God. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has what? Who has called you out of darkness. And that darkness represents sin. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God calls you. Not only does he call you, but he has chosen you for such a time as this. And you have a call on your life if you are a child of the Most High God. As it was with Samuel, God called Samuel. As it was with David, God called David. As it was with Joseph and Elisha and Paul. And when Jesus called each of his disciples, so it is with us. The Spirit of God will call you to salvation. If you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have a call from God for service in his kingdom. He didn't just randomly choose you and call you and save you, bringing you out of darkness into his marvelous light for no reason at all. No, you are called for a reason and for a purpose. God has called you. He confronted you, called you, and chose you to carry out a specific plan and purpose for advancing his kingdom here in the earth. So I ask you again, now that you've been called, now that you've been confronted, what are you going to do when you hear the voice of God? Are you going to do like that call that may come on your phone, and it's like, okay, I don't want to really answer this call right now, and so I'm going to let it either roll over to voicemail, or I'm going to take it and I'm going to push decline and not allow the call to come through? What are you doing with the call that God has upon your life? Once God confronts you, then he also convicts you. You are ready to serve when God confronts you and when he convicts you. Conviction actually is a noun, but convict is a verb. And to convict means to be found guilty of an offense. If you have been convicted of a crime, you have been found guilty of an offense. Also, if you look at that in the term of becoming a noun, a convict is also a person that has been convicted of a crime or an offense. So you may say, Pastor Constance, what type of offense are you talking about? What, I live a clean life. What could you possibly be talking about that I have been found guilty of an offense? Well, the offense that I'm referring to is the offense of sin. Romans 8 and 5 tells us that, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he didn't wait until we got cleaned up or we cleaned ourselves up. No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we did not know anything about Christ, Christ died for us in order to save us from our sins. Verse 9 of Romans 8 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Verse 10, for it, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God. Jesus Christ died and laid down his life for us while we were yet sinners. We all were sinners that were saved by the loving grace of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and 8 tells us that for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. We can't give ourselves any credit for this. And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. God confronts, God convicts, and then thirdly, to ready you for his service, God converts you. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. We're talking about a conversion that takes place when God confronts you and convicts you and calls you. Then he converts you. This is a conversion. This is the account of the conversion of Saul on the Damascus Road. And verse 1 reads, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, the disciples of the Lord, and I'm reading from the King James Version, went unto the high priest. Now, just to kind of summarize things, Saul was persecuting Christians, slaughtering them, threatening them. Verse 2 says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He didn't care, men or women. He was threatening and slaughtering the people of God. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, gave the call, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, a man that is persecuting the people of God. And Jesus has brought him to a position of confronting him, convicting him, and now converting him. And here it says, he says, "And Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Verse 6, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Let's go to verse 11. And it says, "And the Lord said unto him," speaking to Ananias, he sent Paul into the city and told him that there would be a man by the name of Ananias that would come to him. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise," speaking to Ananias, "go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Well, I'm sure Ananias probably thought to himself, you know, "Lord, you want me to go to Paul?" Because, see, Paul already had a reputation for persecuting the Jews and persecuting the people of God. Verse 17 and 20, it says here, "And Ananias, following the command of God, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately his eyes, as it had been scaled, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scaled, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." We're talking about here the conversion of Saul that took place by God on the Damascus Road. He took a man that was persecuting the very children of God and turned this man around for the kingdom of God. And if you know, Saul was converted to Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, as one of the most powerful apostles for the kingdom of God and for the word of God that we find in the Bible. God used Saul. And if God used Saul, God can use anyone. That's why it's so important that no matter what a situation or a person may look like or how they may be behaving, as children of God, we are called to be in prayer for them, because God can use anyone. We are not to count that person out of service to God. God can use anyone. God used you. God used me. God can use anyone. God confronts. God convicts. Then God converts you. Well, once God has confronted, once God has convicted, and once God brings him through his grace and his love, the conversion, then God commissions. What are you talking about, Pastor Constance? God commissions. Well, commission is a term that's also used in the military. To commission means to give a person instruction, to give them a command, to give them a duty to carry out. Well, God has commissioned to serve, meaning God has confronted and called and confronted you. He's convicted you. He's converted you. And now he is bringing forth a commission or a duty for you to carry out to advance his kingdom. We as children of the Most High God, yes, we indeed have a job to do. God, in his plan of commissioning us, prepares us and gives us everything we need to carry out his command in our lives. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 tells us that his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Oh, isn't that, that's wonderful. That's something that we should be able to say, my God, thank you, Lord, because not only have you called me to do your job, this duty in your job, and to carry out your will, but you've also prepared me and given me everything that I need to do all that you've called for me to do. Praise God. God protects us, and he provides for us in addition to preparing for us. He protects us and provides for us as we carry out his plan. Psalms 34, verse 7 through 9, it tells us that the angel of the Lord, we're talking about God's protection and his provision, praise God. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. There will be no lack. There will be no lack when you fear the Lord, when you allow yourself to be given over to God for his service. He will provide you with everything that you need to do what he's called for you to do. Lastly, Second Thessalonians, we're talking about God's protection and his provision for us in the midst of him commissioning us. Second Thessalonians 3, verses 3 through 5 says, but the Lord is faithful. Oh, yes, he is. God is faithful, even when we are not faithful, even when he calls us and we procrastinate, even when he calls us and we take a step back due to fear and doubt and uncertainty, even when he calls us and we lack in faith because we're looking at things that we see versus walking by faith in the things that we don't see, because we have to realize that that which we see is mere temporary, but that which we don't see is what is eternal and everlasting. And the command of God and the will of God in advancing his kingdom brings forth eternal benefits, praise God. Eternal benefit. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3 through 5, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you. Oh, yes, he will. He will give you the strength also to do all that you need to do and protect you from the evil one. Because when you, let me share this with you so that you will be aware, when you make up your mind to carry out the plan of God, when you say yes to the Lord, yes to his will, yes to his way, the enemy then puts carrying his crossbow. But let me tell you this, even though the enemy will come and try to cause stumbling blocks to be in your way, the word of God also tells us, hallelujah, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, praise God. It will not prosper. It says that the Lord himself will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians 3-5. Are you ready to serve this evening? Are you ready to serve tonight? Only you can answer that question. We must work while it is yet day. For there comes nightfall when no man can work. It is important that we know and hear the voice of God, that we harden not our hearts, as I shared with you earlier, and that when God calls you, when he calls us, when he confronts us, when he commissions us and convicts us and converts us, that we recognize the calling of God, and that in that, that we accept and say, yes, Lord, I yield myself to you. And when you do that, God will in turn provide you, I promise you he will, with everything that you need to do to carry out the plan of God that he has for your life. Are you ready to serve? We're talking about a call to serve tonight. Praise God. I pray that that word was a blessing to you, that it is issuing out a clarion call, that in this new season of this new decade of 2020, that you do go back again and take a look, reassess yourself to be able to know, am I walking in the plan that God has for my life? Have I yielded myself to him to carry out his will and his purpose and his plan? Hallelujah and praise God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for that powerful word for Pastor Constance Whitehair. To God be the glory. Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to serve? I can't answer that for you. Let me say you and God. But are you ready to serve on today? Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that powerful word. Amen. To God be all the glory. We thank God for the woman of God that bring forth that word. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. God gave you everything you need to do. You'll be successful in this journey.
Yes, he does.
In this journey of service. In this journey of what he called, command you to do. You are not alone. He said he'd be right there with you, him and a comforter. Amen. And not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. But God said, are you ready to serve right now in 2020? Are you ready to serve today?
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Today is the day. Today is the day to serve God. Be that kingdom man, that kingdom woman, what God called you to be. Amen. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not yours, not mine, because we don't have anything. Our righteousness in Christ Jesus. He paid all for us. Amen.
Yes.
He paid all for us.
Yes.
So yes. Pray to God that you stir your heart up. So man look on outer appearance, God look upon our heart, each and every individual. God know your heart. He created your heart. He know your heart inside out. He know your heart better than you do.
Amen.
He told David, I knew you before you was in your mother womb.
Yes.
God know you better than anyone else.
Yes.
He gave you life. He gave you life, and also he gave you the breath of life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And created you in his image. So he know you better than you know yourself.
Yes.
God. So are you called on today? Are you doing the work God called, command you to do, wherever it happens to be? Are you foot soldier for Jesus on this hour? Wherever it happens to be, do it to the glory of God. Amen. Do it to the glory of God. And let God touch your heart. Let God continue to burn that fire in your spirit. Amen. Like Nehemiah was saying, like God had that fire show up in my bones. That spiritual fire, that unction, amen, that anointing of God upon your life. You can't put it off in the bush. You got to use it for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God's sake. Amen. God meant for it to be used for his sake, used to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, know who you are in Christ. Know your true identity in Jesus Christ. Amen. You were blood brought. It was all paid to our Lord and Savior Jesus. He paid it all for you and for I. He said, occupy until y'all come.
Amen.
We have a work to do. Amen.
Amen.
In the season, we have a work to do.
One of the other things that the Lord is just laying on my spirit to share is that even if you started out at some point and you started out in the plan of God and you knew the plan that God had for your life, and then somehow you maybe got distracted or you got off course.
Amen.
Know that God, just as it was with the prodigal son, God stands, and Jesus Christ, he stands with his arms open wide. All you have to do is to go before God and repent. And the word of God promises us that he takes our sin and he places them in the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God placed our transgressions from us. And when he says he remembers them no more, that's exactly what he means. Because it's not God that continues to bring back, I've done this. God can't use me. I did that. God, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That comes from the enemy.
He can use you even more. Paul was a murderer.
Amen.
Moses was a murderer.
Amen.
He turned that around in their life. He a restorer of the brethren.
Yes, he is a restorer of the brethren.
Amen.
And it is the enemy that comes and tries to remind you, because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. But God says that he takes your sin and replaces it in the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more.
Amen.
So go forth, repent, and continue to go forth, knowing that God can still use you mightily. The other thing I wanted to share was Pastor Jay mentioned about the Holy Spirit. God, as he has prepared and commissioned you, you have been commissioned through the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It is that power that allows you to be able to go forth and do everything that God has called for you to do. Not in and of yourself, but only by the power of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And then God gives you also the full armor, as it is when a soldier is commissioned in the military and he goes out ready for battle. So when you are commissioned in God's army, he does not leave you unprepared, but he gives you his full armor to be able for your protection, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, having your feet shod with the preparation of truth, that full armor that prepares you to go forth and take battle and do everything that God has called for you to do. You are ready to serve. Praise God. You're ready to serve.
Amen. Amen. God gave you, he gave you a plan of tools to defeat the enemy. He gave you his word. He gave you Holy Ghost power. Amen.
Amen.
He gave you his anointing. Praise God. Hallelujah. He gave you so much more to defeat the enemy.
Amen.
You can't lose.
That's right. Because there is no failure in God.
No failure in God.
And actually, the enemy is already a defeated foe. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
Amen.
He has already defeated the enemy. So yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Amen.
So all we need to do is to walk in everything that Jesus Christ has already prepared for us.
And be encouraged.
And
be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Amen.
Praise
be
God.
Through Jesus Christ in the Word of God.
At this time, we're going to go ahead and provide our callers with the opportunity to share if this word has ministered to you, or if you have a testimony, or if you have a prayer request. Praise God. Simply press 1 on your dial pad, and we will dispatch you tonight into the studio.
God is married to the backslider.
Amen. Amen. Is there one?
We restore you. Reconciliation. Amen. God can replenish what man cannot.
Praise God.
God can restore what man cannot.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God can return to you to your rightful place in God in Christ. Amen. To do that first work again. To return that first love in your life for the things of God. God is able to do that. And you allow him to.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But God, all things are possible. All things. Not some things. All things.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Well, we done at this point, we don't have one that has dispatched in. So the Lord just laying on my heart and our heart to go ahead and to pray for you.
Amen.
Because we're living in a time where it is so essential that we take our rightful positions as children of the Most High God, that we take our rightful positions to be able to stand, having done all to stand, and be able to carry out the plan of God for our lives. As Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, for God has a plan for your life to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and an expected end. And as you are blessed, God also expects you to be a blessing, so that his kingdom in this earth can be advanced, praise God.
And bless your children as well. Your household shall be blessed, and your children shall be blessed in the things of God.
Amen. Amen. It's a generational blessing.
Amen.
It's a generational and perpetual blessing, praise God.
My mother and my grandfather are important to us. My grandfather and my grandparents put into us, and our parents put into us. We didn't understand that, but they poured into us through prayer, through supplication, through their trust in God, and their faith in God. They just brought us through.
Amen.
Still bringing us through. Amen.
A call to serve, praise God. Heavenly Father, tonight we lift up, Lord Jesus. We lift
Lord.
Up those that are in our listening audience, Heavenly Father. We lift up those that will even listen to this message as it's archived, Father God. Allow, Lord God, your anointing power, Heavenly Father, to go forth, to be able to flow, to touch the hearts and minds, Lord God, of your children, that we will rise up, Heavenly Father, Lord God. We will be that remnant that will rise up according to your anointing power with your Holy Spirit. Spirit, Lord, with you giving us everything that we need to do all that you've called for us to do, Lord God, to be able to go forth and advance your kingdom here in this earth. Yes, Lord, we will be that good commission, anointed soldier in the kingdom of God for the sake of advancing your kingdom, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Lord, for a time such as this, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for being able to hear your voice, Father. We thank you, Lord God, to answer your call tonight. We yield ourselves, Father. If there are those that need to repent in the name of Jesus, we call forth a clarion call of repentance, Heavenly Father, knowing, Lord God, that you stand with your arms open wide, ready to receive us back to yourself, Lord God, ready to cover us with your love, your grace, your mercy, to be able to build up, to edify us, Lord God, to be able to encourage and allow us to go forth and do have called forth for us to do, Father, for a time such as this. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Father God, for loving us. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you, Father God, just allow us to be able, Father, to do, Lord, all that you've called for us to do in this time. For that we will be certain, Lord, to give you all the praise and to give you all the honor and to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. My soul will say yes on tonight, amen.
Praise
my
God.
Say yes to
praise
your will.
God.
Yes to your way. Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes to your will.
Yes,
Lord. Yes to your way.
My God, my God.
Yes to your purpose.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Well, praise God. We thank each of you again for tuning in to the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast.
Yes.
We pray that you will take this word, and we know already that because of the promise of God that his word goes forth, and it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that for which it has been sent and purposed. So we thank you, Lord, that your word just falls on ears that are receptive, hearts that are receptive, that they will strengthen your people to be able to go forth and do your will. To God be all the glory. Have a wonderful, blessed, and rest of this week. God bless and good night.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Sing with me. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. up inside. Feel